जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जान वल्लभ गिरीवरधारी गोपी जान वल्लभ गिरीवरधारी यशोद नंदना व्रज जन रंजना यशोद नंदना व्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवरधारी यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत शिशिमाद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय इस्कॉन बीबीटी संस्थापकाचार्य इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज द असेंबल डिवोटीज All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नारं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, titled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 15. Shri Shuka Uvacha Samyak Vyavasita Buddhis తవ రాజర్షి సత్తమా వాసుదేవ కథాయాం తే యజ్జాత నైష్టికీ రతి. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ సమ్యగ్ వ్యవసితా బుద్ధిస్ తవ రాజర్షి సత్తమా వాసుదేవ కథాయాం తే యజ్జాత నైష్టికీ రతి. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ సమ్యగ్ వ్యవసితా బుద్ధిస్ తవ రాజర్షి సత్తమా వాసుదేవ కథాయాం తే యజ్జాత నైష్టికీ రతి. Vaishnavis, Shuka Uvacha. Sattama. Mataji. యజ్జాతనైష్టికీరతిహి. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ వస్తితా బుద్ధి Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Samyak, completely, Vyavasita, fixed, Buddhi, intelligence, tower of your majesty, Rajarshi Sattama, O best of Rajarshis, saintly kings, Vasudeva Katayam, in hearing about the topics of Vasudeva, Krishna, Vasudeva Krishna, Te, your, Yat, because, Jata, developed, Naishtiki, without cessation, Rati, attraction, or ecstatic devotional service. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, O Your Majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal of humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. Purport. Krishna Katha is compulsory for the Rajarshi or executive head of government. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Rajashayo Viduhu. Unfortunately, however, in this age, the governmental power is gradually being captured by third class and fourth class men who have no spiritual understanding, and society is therefore very quickly becoming degraded. Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, for otherwise, how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs of materialistic life? One who has fixed his mind in Krishna consciousness should be understood to have very sharp intelligence in regard to the value of life. Maharaj Parikshit was a Rajarishi Sattama, the best of all saintly kings, and Shukadeva Goswami was Muni Sattama, the best of munis. Both of them were elevated because of their common interest in Krishna Katha. The exalted position of the speaker and the audience will be explained very nicely in the next verse. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikshit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort, in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna consciousness movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of text 15 of chapter 1 of canto 10 in the matter of the advent of Lord Krishna, introduction. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Kshya Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaura Katha Dhamadaya Nagra Gramatharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Paranadana Dase Iti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadara Srivasa Adi Gaurava Vrinda ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಗಾಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕ್ರೀಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ತಾರಿಣಂ ಯತ್ಕ್ರೀಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಈಶ್ವರಂ. ಕಥಾಂಚನ ಸ್ಮೃತೇ ಯಸ್ಮಿನ್ ದುಷ್ಕರಂ ಸುಕರಂ ಭವೇತ್ ವಿಸ್ಮೃತೇ ವಿಪರೀತಂ ಸ್ಯಾತ್ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ತಂ. This is a very interesting purport. I'll deal with all the elements of this purport, but I would like to begin with what Prabhupada is speaking here in the end of the purport, and then later on I'll deal with the earlier part of the purport. Prabhupada writes that Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikshit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink. Then he says, this is an example of how the Krishna consciousness movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform and back home, back to Godhead. This is very interesting. Earlier in the purport, Prabhupada writes about how it is the duty of the executive heads of state to relieve people from the pangs of materialistic life. Sometimes Prabhupada would refer to this, I mean, not just Prabhupada, but this is just a standard terminology in Vedic literature. The materialistic concept of life, the whole life in the material world is called bhavaroga. It's a kind of disease. So the very fact that we have a body means disease. The body itself is a full manifestation of disease. So this is the Vedic concept, that it is very different from some of the false understanding of what Scripture is meant to teach, because sometimes people think that God has given this body. Not just in India, but across the world, there is this concept of God has given this body for us to enjoy in this material world. So it is God's will that we should enjoy. But this is a completely wrong conception. In fact, it is complete ignorance. Reality is that this body, sharira avidya jal, means it is a lump of ignorance, jadendriya taheka, with a network of paths leading to destruction, death. So this is the concept of this material body. Now, once, what is the symptom of bhavaroga? The symptom of bhavaroga is that, first of all, the body itself is a symptom, and then there are activities of the body. So when I say body here, it means both the gross body and the subtle body. So the activities are, when I say activities of the body, the soul has contracted the body, and through the body it is trying to find what is physically desirable, find something which is physically desirable, and find something which is emotionally, which is emotionally or very, whatever, intellectually, which satisfying to the false ego. So we are trying to look at desirable things, both for the body and for the mind intelligence and body, and mind intelligence and false ego. Not only are we looking for someone physically desirable, someone emotionally, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, and through their false ego desirable, but we also wish that we are also desirable for someone else. So this is the whole concept of material life. It's a complete mesh, and we're completely entangled in this concept of material life. And this is called bhavaroga. Now, how do you get out of this? Because the problem is that we are so hopelessly entangled. It's called the cycle of, it goes on repetitively again and again and again. The cycle of birth and death, The same thing, the mesh becomes thicker and thicker and thicker. We just keep getting entangled more and more and more and more. So, what's the remedy? Like, here it speaks about the executive heads of state. What are they supposed to do? Of course, in India, those of you who are familiar with what's happening in India over the last 5-6 months, there is one term which is very popular in people's mind. It's called surgical strike, they say, which means that India struck its enemy, Pakistan, with some bombs, went into their territory and struck. But the Bhagavatam says, the real enemy is not outside. The real enemy is within us. The real enemy is within us. So we have, what are the real enemies? Kama, Krodha, Loba, Moha, Mada and Matsarya. Kama is lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness and envy. So these are the real enemies and they are situated right in our hearts. And these need to be struck down. So this is a very important thing because we generally think that all the difficulties in our life are not caused by us. It's caused by someone else. But the Bhagavatam and the Vedic literatures, Bhagavad Gita, they all teach us the real enemy is within us. And we have to strike that enemy. Therefore, how do we strike? So that is why the executive heads of states, they are not meant to just protect the country from external enemies, but they are supposed to protect the citizens from themselves. Means they are supposed to protect the citizens from the enemies situated in the heart of these citizens. So therefore, it is the duty of the executive heads of state to propagate Krishna Katha. So when Krishna Katha is recited by the assembly of pure devotees, it strikes the heart and destroys the enemies. Well, apart from destroying the enemy, how does it destroy the enemies? Because normally when we speak about enemies and destruction and all, it's all very filled with anxiety. Because even if you are striking with a bomb, the whole process, it's not a very pleasurable process. A lot of anxiety is involved. Your aircraft can get destroyed, the pilot can get captured, all kinds of possibilities exist. So it's a whole very process which is filled with anxiety. But the process of Krishna Katha to hear in the assembly of devotees is very relishable. So even though we are talking about striking the enemies in the heart, the whole process is very relishable. And because of the process being relishable, there is actually a terminology that is used in the Bhagavatam, in the teachings of Kapila, because I left that sentence halfway, because it's relishable. I went on to Bhagavatam verse, so I'll come back to that, because it's relishable, so what? Okay, so in the Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila explains to his mother, Devahuti, Satam prasangam mamavira samvito bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha. So, when we hear satam prasangam in the assembly of devotees, when we hear, Kapila says, mama virya samvido, when we hear the heroic and transcendental activities of Krishna, hrit karna rasayana katha. What is happening when we sit in the assembly of pure devotees? Hrit karna rasayana. We get a rasayana for the heart. Hrit is for the heart and karna is for the ears. So what is a rasayana? Now in Ayurveda, the term rasayana refers to a medicine. Which is a nourishing medicine. So I remember when I was a kid, since I'm from Kerala, and Kerala is the center of all Ayurveda. So when I was growing up as a child, there would be a lot of Ayurvedic medicines. I rarely grew up on allopathic medicines. I mean, whenever I had some difficulty, health difficulties. So I remember there would be this thing called Rasayana. And even after the sickness is cured, I would be eager to taste that Rasayana because it's Rasayana, it's very, very tasty. So this is what happens when we hear Krishna Katha in the assembly of devotees. Tad Joshna Ashva Apavarba Vartamani. It continues the shloka. Shraddha Bhaktir Ratir Anukramishati. So when we hear, when we, that is so relishable, that our faith increases, rati, attraction increases, and bhakti develops. This is the power of this rasayana, the hritkarna rasayana of the Bhagavatam. So when we hear the hritkarna rasayana, three things happen. What are those three things? Shraddha, our faith develops. Then rati, our attraction for Krishna develops. And our bhakti develops. So this is what happens by consuming this hritkarna rasayana, which is so relishable. Rasayana is something which is very relishable. So when you hear Krishna Katha, it's so relishable that our faith, our attraction, and our devotional service begins to blossom. And because of that, so I said it's so relishable, because it is so relishable, then what happens? What is the immediate thing that happens? If we look into the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction, it speaks about Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. Then you have Jiva Vegam, Udrapastha Vegam. It speaks about six kind of urges. So the six kinds of urges are the urge to speak, the urge of the mind, the urge of anger, the urge of the tongue, the urge of the belly, and the urge of the genitals. Then it says, Etan Vegan Sa Vishaheta Dhiraha. One who can tolerate these urges is called a Dhira. Then such a person, Sarvam Abhimam Prithim Sashishyat. Now this particular verse is common to all the systems of yoga, not just the system of Bhakti Yoga, because the first step is to tolerate the urges. And so when we hear the relishable stories of Krishna, the relishable philosophy of Krishna consciousness from the Bhagavatam, the Hritkarna Rasayana, immediately we feel relief from material pangs. Because why are we not feeling relief? These urges are constantly bombarding us. And when we hear the Bhagavatam, we get the ability to tolerate. Oh, we can tolerate the urges. This is the first level of bhakti, that you develop enough faith, attraction, and devotional service so that we are able to tolerate the urges of the senses. That alone is not enough. That is the first step, is toleration. If you look at the prayers of the six Goswamis, it doesn't say that the six Goswamis tolerated the urges of the senses. It says, Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijitau. Vijitau, it says. It doesn't say Vishaheta, they tolerated the senses. It says Vijita. Vijita means they conquered over the urges of the senses. So the first step is that we because of the attraction of Krishna Katha, we are able to tolerate the urges. Then as bhakti progresses, then we conquer over the urges. And the finest example is our leaders are the six Goswamis. Among them, Rupa Goswami. But all the six Goswamis are our leaders. And what is their example? With Nidra Hara Vihari Kaji Vijitao. They conquered. And that's exactly what Prabhupada is speaking in the end of this purport, where he says that Maharaj Parikshit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink. This is what happens. It's not that Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami, they were just tolerating their urges to eat and sleep. No. They were completely oblivious to it. Completely oblivious to it. It's like, so when we progress in Krishna consciousness, we should be able to see this. For example, suppose we have a huge gaping wound on our leg. then we apply medication or whatever, and finally the wound begins to heal, then there's a crust which forms. Initially there's huge pain involved. Later on, as the crust develops and it's slowly falling off, still there is some itch. There's an itch. It begins to itch around the crust. But the pain that we initially felt is nothing compared to the itch we finally feel. So Prabhupada explains that by the practice of Krishna consciousness, the urges which once seemed so difficult to tolerate will become quite easy to tolerate. So that is the test, that we are slowly conquering over the urges. And Prabhupada, in several lectures, he speaks about making the urges nil. Now that's interesting, because there are several references to that. I want to read out two specific references, because everything's interesting about what Prabhupada says, but these two particular things I just wanted to read out today, because it refers to the very process of sadhana bhakti. This is from a Srimad Bhagavatam talk on the 17th of October 1972 in Vrindavan, and this is on verse 6 of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada is saying, the sadhana bhajan means to come to the point of nil. Nidra hara vihara kadi vijitau. These Goswamis, they conquered over nidra hara. Nidra means sleeping, ahara means eating, and vihara means sex. Nidra hara vihara kadi vijitau. You have to conquer. The more you conquer over these things, the more you are advanced. Because you have to make it nil altogether. Then you are eligible to go back to home, back to God. Notice that, what Prabhupada says, very interesting. He says, then you are eligible, he says. So, this is the criteria to go back to Godhead, that these urges have to become nil. Therefore, we train our students, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. The Nivritti Marga. Prabhupada also explains in several places that because we have a body to maintain, so sometimes, it may be practically difficult to make it nil, but Prabhupada explains, but make it as minimum as possible. Then he gives the example, how Raghunath Das Goswami, how first he would eat, he would stand outside Lord Jagannath's temple and beg from the people who are coming out of the temple. Later on, he stopped that and he started taking the rice which was washed, left behind in the temple. So then once Mahaprabhu personally went and started eating that rice. So Mahaprabhu was so impressed with the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. We just recently celebrated the Paniyatti festival. So Raghunath Das Goswami is a fine example. He is considered the example of renunciation. Although he came from a very rich aristocratic family, he completely gave up. Taktva turnamashesha mandalapati shrenim sada tuchava. He gave up as insignificant. And by his practical example, he showed how vidrahara vihara kaji vijito. He was a perfect, everybody showcases something. Jiva Goswami was a perfect example of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. He is considered the acharya on the tattva of Krishna consciousness. Raghunath Das Goswami is considered the acharya when it comes to showing us renunciation. So like that, the point is that Prabhupada explained this, that why is it possible for them? Because Gopi Bhava Rasam Rutadilahari, they are so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that the taste of Krishna consciousness is so intense that however intense the material urges may be, become insignificant. That's what we may think. Oh, the urges of the senses are so intense. But then in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental urge of the soul. So the urge of the soul is inconceivably more intense than the urges of the body. All that we have to do is revive that intense urge of the soul. When the intense urge of the soul is revived, then nidrahara vihara kaji vijito, it becomes very easy. So this is a process. There's one more lecture excerpt which you wanted to quote. This is again a lecture from the Srimad Bhagavatam, same year, 1972, 15th of July, London, text 5, chapter 1, canto 1. So our ideal is we are fighting with Maya. I chose this because we are talking about strikes and enemies and fighting. So okay, that's why I chose this particular excerpt. So our ideal is we are fighting with Maya. And so the fighting will conquer over Maya when we see that we are not disturbed by these four processes: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. This is the test. Nobody has to take certificate from anyone as how he is spiritually advancing. He can test himself. How far I have conquered over these four things: eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's all. That is the test. So this is properly speaking of fighting with Maya. So what is symptom of that we are winning, that we are conquering over these urges? Of course, Prabhupada is just speaking about this in this particular context, but generally the urges means all kinds of urges, not just the urges of the body, the urges of the mind, the urges of anger, all kinds of urges. So the sure way to fight that, reduce the intensity and conquer over it is to increase the intensity of our Krishna consciousness. And therefore we should make it a point to constantly hear the Bhagavatam day after day after day after day. It says Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that strike in the heart, the surgical strike in the heart should happen daily, over and over and over and over again. Our hearts are like a hard rock. So we should strike it with the Bhagavatam. And it says that it is so easy that we don't even have to struggle to strike our hard heart. It's explained by Lochan Das Thakur. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind, just by hearing his teachings and his pastimes, even the birds and beasts will cry, and even the rock will cry, and even the rock-like heart can melt just by hearing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have the best possible imaginable situation. Of course, externally we may be in a very bad degraded environment of Kali Yuga, but a real problem is not the external. A real problem is internal. And by taking this process of Krishna consciousness as explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the result is very sure. And when I say taking the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it means as we read it, as we understand it through Prabhupada's books. Just yesterday, I met a devotee who told me that this process of sadhana bhakti and this process of book distribution, this is the preliminary stage. But we have to come to that platform of raganuga bhakti, the real thing. So Prabhupada made it the point that this Krishna consciousness as he has taught us is the same as that taught to us by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Therefore, even among the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are called the Saraswatas. And these Acharyas, they have figured it out. This is how we practice. And surely, our intelligence cannot be better than them. Because they have come directly from the spiritual world. Prabhupada would say about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what can I say about him? He was a Vaikuntha man, Prabhupada would say. And once when Prabhupada was speaking about how Bhaktivinoda Thakur had predicted that a great personality would come who would spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu across the world, he said out of humility, he said, maybe I am that person. So we know that he is. As far as we are concerned, it is not maybe, but he is. And we should know that they have come exclusively to propagate, to turn us towards Krishna, to take us back to Godhead. And Prabhupada is saying, how do you take us back to, how do you, the whole purport, even in this purport he's talking, this is how you go back to Godhead. He's talking about hearing Krishna Katha. And it is a mistake to think that these acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada, they have not given us a real thing. This philosophy is coming from Radha Kund by the opponents of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It is the real thing. Because you can see here that Prabhupada is speaking about how, he's showing the practical example. Who is the practical example? It is Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. He's saying this is the effect of hearing Krishna Katha. And he's telling us, test it. He's talking about it in lectures. Test it. It will happen. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying that when we chant the holy name, that's alone is enough. And of course, practicing devotional service. By the process of chanting the whole Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela of the Lord will be automatically revealed. Automatically. We do not have to make a separate endeavor. Just by the process of chanting the holy names and practicing devotional service, as outlined by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and presented by Srila Prabhupada in his books, we can definitely attain the highest goal of life. So, I would like to stop here. The last point I just mentioned, because just yesterday I met a devotee who told me that this process is just, just the preliminary process. It's just been going on in my mind. So I wanted it to mention today that this process is the Samam Bonam. In fact, the 10th canto is called the Samam Bonam. So the process that we are following as given, as enunciated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and presented by Srila Prabhupada, is the complete process. Thank you. So if you have any comments or questions. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Prabhu. I wonder if you could repeat that statement you made about book distribution.
Oh. Okay. I was told yesterday by a devotee whom I met, he said, I mean he's an ISKCON devotee although, and he said that this sadhana bhakti, book distribution, they're all okay. The real thing is raganuga bhakti. So you need to upgrade yourself at some point from these activities into the practice of raganuga bhakti. And so they consider that book distribution is inferior activity. So I remember you played that class of Ramesh Prabhu during not this marathon, the previous marathon, where I don't know how many of the people, how many devotees here were there in the audience. So let me repeat it for their benefits. So once Ramesh Prabhu gave a class in Hawaii where he explained that when it says, when we sing the Guru Ashtakam prayers every day, Nikunjayuno, the spiritual master is making very tasteful arrangements to serve Radha Krishna, he said that there is an external manifestation of that. The external manifestation of that is the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and especially book distribution. And he said this is the same thing. This is Madhurya Ras. So, this Mataji was a Prabhupada disciple who was there in the class. She was doubtful about what Prabhupada meant, about what Rameshwar Prabhu mentioned in that class. So she wrote a letter to Prabhupada and asked him, this is what he mentioned in this class, what do you think about it? And Prabhupada responded by saying, yes, he has spoken correctly. The point is that when we say Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course we know that he came for two purposes. Internal purpose is to relish the mood of Srimati Radharani, and the external purpose is to spread the Sankirtan mission. So the mistake that these proponents make is that, I mean, the proponents who do not agree with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, they say the external is not as important as the internal. There is a problem philosophically with that. We are talking about the Supreme Lord. For the Supreme Lord, there is no difference between the internal and the external. And our acharyas have not made that distinction, that the internal activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are more important than his external activity. Because in his internal mood, he is crying. Lord Chaitanya is the God who cries. He cries for Krishna. And in his external manifestation, he cries for the living entities out of compassion. Out of his compassion for the living entities, he cries. In fact, Srimati Radharani created this whole dham, created by Srimati Radharani herself, the fountainhead of Madhurya Ras, out of her compassion. This is called the Audharya Dham. So this element of compassion is an inseparable element of Madhurya Ras. It is manifested fully in Srimati Radharani. So when we cannot make a distinction, because this is called revelational theology. Revelational theology means we cannot come up with an idea. We can only come up with things which the acharyas themselves have said. That's called revelational theology. Revelation means we take what is revealed. We don't come up with some rational ideas. Oh, external is less important than the internal. These are rational ideas. And there's a system of theology called rational theology, where you use your mind and come up with some rational classifications of things. We do not follow that system. Our process of Krishna consciousness is revelational theology. So as far as we are concerned, there is no difference between the internal activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the external activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are all equally absolute and worshipable to us. Because what did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do during his Gambhira pastimes? He was constantly hearing the pastimes of Krishna. But the same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was attending the Rath Yatra, the Rath Yatra is just coming up, and when Maharaj Pratapa Rudra was massaging Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet, he was singing the Gopi Gita, and when he sang the Tavakathamritam verse, immediately the same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in internal trance. He woke up and he embraced Maharaj Pratapradha and saying, you are most merciful, because that verse glorifies the preachers, those who distribute Krishna consciousness. And Krishna himself says it in the Bhagavad Gita. There is so much evidence. There is no one more dear to me, nor in the future there will be anyone more dear to me than who preaches about my glories. So, the same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in internal ecstatic trance. He woke up and he embraced Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, embraced Maharaj Pratap Rudra in ecstasy. And he was, and the same Maharaj Pratap Rudra whom he had rejected before, he had not rejected in the sense, he was not willing to meet him, but he got up and spontaneously embraced him. From his trance he woke up. So, there is no difference between the external activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his internal activities, or rather, there's no difference between the external purpose of his descent and the internal purpose of his descent. And this has been perfectly understood by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and presented exactly as it is by Srila Prabhupada. So we just have to follow. So if Prabhupada says book distribution is the most important activity, preaching is the essence, that is the essence. So we should go by that, by what our Acharya, founder Acharya, has taught us. Is it okay? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Nasimati.
Thank you for explaining that very nicely. I had a question in relation. So I think it's quite clear that book distribution of preaching is the essence, because it's what Lord Chaitanya, who came to give the path of spontaneous devotion, gave us. So he came to give that, and he gave this activity, preaching Sankirtan. Now how do we stop ourselves from becoming mechanical, thinking that, because it's too extreme. One extreme is that this is the preliminary, you have to go higher. The other extreme is that this is all there is, by doing this everything will come automatically.
Actually, because you're speaking close to the mic, yeah. Your voice is muffled. I'm not able to understand the question. Keep a little away the mic.
I was saying that my understanding is that we see there are two extremes. One extreme is to dismiss what is being given by the Acharya as a preliminary,
okay,
and say that the Raganuga, that's the highest.
Yes.
And the other extreme I've seen sometimes, at least with me, is that there's a tendency to feel like just by performing these activities, everything will come automatically. Because we know that nothing is automatic in Krishna consciousness. So
I'm
wondering, how do we prevent such consciousness from creeping in? That I just chant, I just do sankirtan, and automatically I develop spontaneous love for Krishna, because that's...
Oh, it's a good question. I don't know if everybody understood the question. The question is that there's two extremes. One extreme is to think that these activities are inferior, the preaching, book distribution. The other extreme is to think that if I just do it, automatically everything will happen and nothing is automatic. Well, when we have defined the word automatic, Prabhupada did speak about that word automatic many times. So if we define the term properly, then there is no confusion. Because generally, the understanding is, automatic means what? We are just chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles, and automatically we are going back to Godhead. And there's a big confusion about the word automatic when we use it in that context. Because Prabhupada is not talking about chanting 16 rounds alone. Prabhupada is talking about chanting, you can clearly see, I forgot to bring that reference now. I have a reference. Where Prabhupada is very clearly talking about, when he speaks about, I think I have it. Just give me a second. I have it. Very nicely explains what it means. Where he speaks about attentive chanting, he doesn't speak about just chanting. Well, I don't think I'm able to locate it. But he speaks about... here it is. Here it is. We should not take very leniently that we are going back to Godhead. Of course, there is so many concession. But at the same time, we should be very much aware of the responsibility that we have decided to go back to Godhead after leaving this body. So we have to perform some austerities. The austerity in our Gaudiya Sampradaya is very simple. Follow the four principles, restriction, avoiding the offenses, very clearly saying, and chanting regular beads, that's all. And hearing, chanting and hearing, both things. Not only chanting, but hear Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, we should engage 24 hours business. This is from a lecture on the Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.18. On the 11th of February, I don't know where it is, it was given. Anyway, so the point is, Prabhupada is very clearly saying that that somehow we miss that term offense when we speak about chanting 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles, then we somehow miss that thing about offense. So we think over that just automatically chanting is, no. If we chant offenselessly and follow the four regulative principles, then there is no way in which we are not going to, there is no way in which we are not going to achieve this. The Nidrahara, Vihara, Kaji, Vijito is going to happen. And we are going to see it ourselves. That's why Prabhupada says there is no need of a certificate. If we are chanting offenselessly, or at least attempting to chant offenselessly and chanting, then what happens is that we can see this progress. That's why Prabhupada says nobody needs to give us a certificate. We can ourselves see what was the intensity of the urges when we took to Krishna consciousness and what is its current intensity. From that we can gauge, are we steadily progressing? From that, of course, we should have that relish for Krishna Katha, due to which this is diminishing. The intensity of the intensity of the soul's urge is becoming so high that the body's and the mind's urges and the other urges are going really lower and lower and lower. Is it okay? Yes, ma'am. We have a few more minutes.
Hare Krishna Guruji. Just on the Raganuga Bhakti,
yes.
His Holiness Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj, one time he was saying that If somebody is exercising his brain on how to spread this movement, he is already on the Raganuga platform.
This is the formula that is given to us by Prabhupada. Prabhupada is asked, because you are supposed to follow, Satsurupa Maharaj writes this, Raganuga Bhakti means you are supposed to follow a resident of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said, I am that resident. So, I mean, by following him, you are in the path of Raganuga Bhakti. But the point is that at the same time, we have to also be conscious of this fact, what Narasimhatirtha brought up. It is not that we're just doing chanting and book distribution and somehow going on with life at the end of life. That is not our business. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, that Raganuga is our property. This Radhakund Babaji has stolen it from us. It is our property. It is not that it's their property. The point is that by practice of the devotional service as explained to us by our acharyas, by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and present by Prabhupada, this particular style, because people will invoke Bhaktivinoda Thakur, people invoke Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur to invoke, do some other kind of, Raganuga Bhakti. We don't want to do that. We want to do the Saraswata kind. So that is very, very clear. So if we follow that properly, then we should see it. That's why Prabhupada is saying the test. We should see it, that we are developing some spontaneous attraction. We're developing some attraction for Krishna and Vrindavan. We need to see it happening. Yes, ma'am.
A devotee one time asked Srila Prabhupada, if I'm out on book distribution and leave my body, will I go back to Godhead? The Prabhupada said, not necessarily.
Thank you. Yeah, because it's come, I mean, in the last 10 or 15 years, there have been innumerable occasions where I've come across people using the expression, Prabhupada said, just hold on to my dhoti, I'm taking you back to Godhead. 9.9 times out of 10, there is no, I mean, only 9, I mean, there only, people are people, there's nothing called 9.9. What I'm trying to say is 9 times out of 10, when people say that, it usually is an excuse for not practicing properly, or they're frustrated. So only those kind of people use this kind of phrases. I mean, generally, I'm not saying there could be exceptions, but generally. So you have to be careful when somebody says, but just by holding on to Prabhupada's dhoti. Yes, it is a fact. But I remember when I asked this question to Bhakti Dhira Damodar Maharaj in Vrindavan, I was sitting right next to him, because I knew he's the right person to destroy this misconception. And so when I asked him that question, I was sitting right next to him, suddenly held my dhoti. And he shouted at me, he said, this is called holding the dhoti. And he was pulling me towards it. So he was saying, do we hold Prabhupada's dhoti like this? Or are we just doing something and just touching his dhoti? What are we doing? So the point that he was trying to say is, we should cling tightly to Prabhupada's lotus feet. Then everything is alright. That is the point. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.